Continuing with Keith Lowe's Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II, Jews as Capitalists, Jews as Communists. The pogrom at Kun Madaras was only one of many such incidents that took place across Hungary in the immediate post-war years. Anti-Semitic violence, including the looting of homes and shops, for example, in the mining town of Ozd, lynchings and murders, as in Miskolc, and the burning down of Jewish buildings such as synagogues, as in Makow. Alongside the violence, Jews were obliged to suffer all the usual forms of nonviolent anti-Semitism, discrimination, intimidation, verbal abuse, and so on. The level of racial hatred was so high and so universal that it clearly cannot be explained away as a mere squabble over property. Something much deeper was going on. To begin with, the people who indulged in such excesses were often themselves suffering from unbearable hardship. The economy of the whole region was close to meltdown in 1946. But it was especially bad in Hungary, where the rate of inflation reportedly rose to a peak of 158,496% per day. In his memoirs, the writer Gheorghe Faludi gives an indication of what this meant to ordinary people. When his publisher printed a new edition of one of his books in 1946, Faludi was paid 300 billion pengos, an amount that in 1938 would have been equivalent to around 60 billion U.S. dollars. And yet, after collecting this bounty, he was obliged to race directly to the market, knowing that the money would have devalued by at least 90% by the time he got there. He spent the entire amount on just a single chicken, 2 liters of olive oil, and a handful of vegetables. Inflation like this had a devastating effect on the lives of ordinary people who were obliged to barter possessions for food. Workers often relied on the meals they received in the factory canteens because their wages were effectively worthless. Eventually, some employers abandoned money altogether and began paying their workers in food. My interjection on that page I put up called "Our Hands, We the Peoples, Are Full When We Join Them Together," which was a discussion on June 8th, 2014 on this show. We began a consideration of the Craig Calhoun article in Does Capitalism Have a Future, called What Threatens Capitalism Now? In it, he writes, quote, "A host of new competitions for scarce resources will shape the near future and pose challenges to capital as well as to states and human societies. Energy is basic. Minerals are needed for modern technologies. Water is in short and unpredictable supply and often polluted. Even agricultural farmland is an object of competition as acrid Arabia and crowded China fight to acquire rights to fertile Africa." Unquote. I think we should consider this comment that I made. The scramble for rank, for place in a hierarchy, with our earth gnawed to the bone, leaves little room for concern about those on the bottom. Only we the people can save our motherlands, our birthright, our origins, our integral souls. We need to see in light of what Keith Lowe and Miklos Nesley have had to say, and what we're seeing around us today. The suffering Lowe describes is not just a future projection. As I wrote those words on August 2nd, 2014, it's happening right now in many places and obviously ongoingly. And I personally believe that moral degradation is precisely what the Israeli state hopes to achieve with the Palestinians. Their own degraded state, of course, they do not see. These are old tactics of power towards people whose backs remain unbowed. Make them experience suffering. Have them hunger, says Power. Then they'll come around. Let's consider this as we look where hunger lives around the globe today. Are we willing to turn our backs on them? And the probable or our neighbors right next to us. We need to reclaim responsibility for all of it, all of us, all our relations. Consider Power's plans. Are we really willing to tolerate this rending of our incipient global human fellowship? Continuing, the blame for this state of affairs was, generally speaking, aimed at two groups of people. Firstly, the Soviets were blamed for the destruction they had wrought, for their widespread looting, and for the punitive sums they had demanded in reparation for the war. The communists were guilty by association, and in the minds of the people, the communists were almost universally regarded as Jews. And my interjection, are we surprised that the global state statesmen remain hidden when responsibility for hunger or public prejudices is being determined? Continuing, the communists were guilty by association, and in the minds of the people, the communists were almost universally regarded as Jews. This was not unique to Hungary. The Communist Party was regarded as the party of the Jews across Europe, and not entirely without justification. But since the communists were widely hated, this didn't reflect well on the Jews. For example, when the Jewish leader of the Communist Party, Matyas Rákosi, came to Miskolc to deliver a speech on the economic situation, graffiti appeared. My interjection, ah yes, the anonymous hand of division, such an ever-present actor, urging violence, greasing palms to sow seeds of hate, agent provocating wherever power fears, where bridging false divides. There, behind its agents, power hides. Continuing, graffiti appeared on the factory walls, calling him the king of the Jews and the man who, quote, sold the country to the Russians.